national security that bombs children in broad daylight. Ooh, yeah. And check out our line of planet products where you can buy mass extinction on time. We're out of time. It's happening right now. Every month hotter than the last. We're here and it's prosperity time. And prosperity is suicide. It's the same thing. Somebody give me an earthaluia. Am I telling the truth? However, let's comfort each other. Let's heal. All right? That's another kind of radio. We don't have to just say bad things all day long. Come on now. Love. We're looking into each other's eyes. We got a community going on here. We're dancing in this circle. Somebody give me an earthaluia. We're going to find a way out of this psychological trap. Find a way out of these pixels. We're going to stop the violence. Please, everybody, somebody give me an earthaluia.
Earthaluia.
Hello. We've just had four audio events kicking off today's Earth Riot Radio. The first one was a poem I've written, Can We Make Love in Such a Way, which I hope becomes a Stop Shopping song. And the Stop Shopping Choir sang the second event, which was I'm Not the Only One. A recognition I'm in a community. I don't have to pull this weight all by myself. That's a lesson we should all learn in this time of such peace work we need to do and such earth work we need to do. And yes, communities make change. And then, speaking of which, Hugh Masekela takes the stage and with his trumpet and his voice, and he calls, bring Nelson Mandela back home. I want to see Nelson Mandela walking in the streets of South Africa. And his song was powerful and dangerous, and it caused the thing that it wanted. Nelson Mandela then did come out of jail as a result of that song and other songs. Music had a lot to do with it. Artists had a lot to do with it. And the reception of the arts and the communities that were being created at that time. And then Mother Africa herself, Miriam Makeba, is the fourth audio event that we just experienced. And she was exiled for 27 years. And Nelson Mandela was jailed. And the two of them came back. And they came back to music. Music in the air. Now we've got to do that again, right? We have the earth singing to us in the wind of the storms and in the crackling sound of the wildfires and the rushing sound of the flooding and in the sound of the birds still returning in springtime. And this, the feeling of healthy ecosystems that are still flourishing. We need to rise up. The artists need to rise up now in the face of this fascism and the bombing and the killing of children every day. That can't be normal. No. War kills everything. And the arts, the music, rising up. Let's sing for peace. Earthalleluyah. Somebody, make a song out of the words I just wrote. Can we make love in such a way democracy returns to the home of the brave and touch each other, intertwine so people's feelings begin to align. And if we sigh in a special key, trust readers with books in the library. And what if we dream environmentally, extinct birds flying up from the land and the sea, and we walk together in the morning sun, so no bombs drop on anyone. Earth-a-luia. Peace-a-luia.
News from the natural world. I'm Savitri D. Salmon are moving into lakes and streams newly formed by melting glaciers in Alaska and British Columbia, even as mining firms rush to exploit mineral-rich lands newly exposed by retreating ice. Glacial retreat in Alaska and British Columbia is transforming cold, sediment-choked rivers into clearer, warmer streams and lakes that could support expanding salmon populations in the decades to come. Though new salmon habitat could emerge across nearly 4,000 miles of river by century's end, much of it lies near existing or proposed mining sites, including projects without formal consent from downstream communities. Mining companies are rapidly staking claims in these newly exposed landscapes, fueled by record gold prices and high demand for copper, raising alarm among indigenous groups and fisheries advocates. A surge in global conflict, plastic contamination, and chemical exposure is putting bees and other pollinators at increased risk. A University of Reading report lists 12 emerging threats to pollinators, including war, microplastics, artificial light, and antibiotics entering ecosystems via agriculture. Microplastics were detected in most of the 315 bee colonies tested across Europe, while light pollution has cut nocturnal flower visits by 62%, and pesticide mixtures continue to harm pollinator health. El Paso, Texas is experiencing its dustiest year in decades as drought, vanishing vegetation, and rising temperatures send choking clouds of dirt across the Texas border region. El Paso has seen 10 dust storms and 34 dusty days this year, levels not recorded since the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, due to a prolonged drought and stronger than average winds across West Texas, New Mexico, and northern Mexico. Air quality has plummeted, with particulate matter reaching hazardous levels. One storm in March saw levels 28 times the EPA's daily limit, raising serious concerns for respiratory health. Scientists warn that with continued warming and aridification, storms will likely grow more frequent and intense. A new satellite analysis shows that offshore oil rigs continue to leak vast amounts of oil and methane, even as the Trump administration rolls back key drilling safeguards enacted after the Deepwater Horizon disaster. The new report, based on satellite images and AI, identified the world's top offshore polluters, with the worst facilities in Indonesia, Nigeria, and Cameroon. 20 sites collectively leaked nearly 300,000 gallons of oil between June 2023 and October 2024. Despite this ongoing pollution, the Trump administration has reopened leasing for offshore drilling and ordered a rollback of regulations designed to prevent disasters like the 2010 BP spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The administration also proposed steep budget cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's satellite program, potentially reducing public access to the very tools used to detect oil slicks and methane emissions. Nearly 7 million hectares of primary tropical forests were lost in 2024, with almost half due to wildfires, according according to data from the World Resources Institute. Fires also devastated boreal forests in Russia and Canada, contributing to 30 million hectares of tree cover loss worldwide and releasing 4.1 gigatons of greenhouse gases. In spite of this, the EU postponed the start of its anti-deforestation law. The Biden-era-approved Empire Wind Project in New York State will move forward after President Trump lifted a stop work order following direct lobbying from New York Governor Kathy Hochul and Norwegian developer Equinor. The Empire Wind Project had been losing $50 million per week during the pause and warned it would cancel the project if no resolution came soon. Work had already begun onshore in Brooklyn, with offshore construction set to start in May. Parts of Northern Europe have seen the worst drought in decades in recent weeks, with farmers from Scotland to the Netherlands fearing the dry spell will impact harvests. Water shortages can stunt the growth of staple crops such as wheat, corn, rapeseed, and barley. Countries including France, Belgium, Britain, and Germany have seen much lower levels of rainfall than usual in some areas this spring, leaving the soil parched and dusty. The unusually dry weather has already delayed the life cycle of crops that would normally have sprouted by now. Luke Ablett, a farmer in eastern England, said he was praying for the rain as Britain suffers its driest spring in well over a century. A mysterious and highly active undersea volcano off the Pacific coast could erupt by the end of this year. Nearly a mile deep and about 700 miles northwest of San Francisco, the volcano known as Axial Seamount was discovered in the 80s. Located in a darkened part of the Northeast Pacific Ocean, this submarine volcano has erupted three times since its discovery in 1998, 2011, and 2015. Fortunately for residents of California, Oregon, and Washington, Axial Seamount doesn't erupt explosively, so it poses zero risk of any tsunami. When it erupts, it oozes hot lava and creates tremendous hot plumes of water, both of which pose significant risk to underwater life. But above water, it might not seem like anything was happening at all. Tiny pollen grains too small to see have revealed that flowers are at least 123 million years old, more than 2 million years older than previously thought. For almost three quarters of the time since plants established themselves on land, there were no flowering plants at all. The development of pollen, and with it a vastly expanded range of options for conquering new territory, changed everything. It was millions of years before pollen-producing flowering plants, or angiosperms, were widespread enough to be obvious in the fossil record. Examination of coastal sediments in what is now Portugal has revealed pollen grains just 0.02 millimeters wide, the oldest coming from sediments 123 million years ago. The grains could be found because these pollens fluoresce under the right light. When a confocal laser scanning microscope was shown on some of the sediments, four minuscule grains glowed in samples collected 16 miles apart. The United Arab Emirates breached its May temperature record for the second day in a row, hitting 51.6 degrees Celsius or 124.9 degrees Fahrenheit on May 24th, within touching distance of the highest ever temperature recorded in the country. The highest ever temperature recorded in the UAE was reported at 52 degrees Celsius or 125.6 degrees Fahrenheit on Abu Dhabi's Al Yasat Island in 2010. The number of extremely hot days has nearly doubled globally in the past three decades. And I'd like to take a second and wish a happy birthday to Reverend Billy, my collaborator and life partner. Happy birthday, Rev. Love you. And now, the sounds of extinction. A grasshopper thought to be extinct for four decades has been rediscovered. The Monte Gordo grasshopper was first described in 1980 on São Nicolau, Cape Verde, an archipelago off Africa. Scientists uncovered only one male specimen from 1979 to 1982, and they soon declared the species extinct. But in 2023, researchers say they rediscovered the species and even found some elusive females. Scientists believe the species occupies an area just 12 kilometers square. The human impact on natural habitats in Cape Verde has been considerable for over 500 years, and most vegetation is severely disturbed. The combination of harsh climate and human disturbance and the Monte Gordo grasshopper will likely remain critically endangered. And hear the sound of Cape Verde.
Yeah.
say thank you and goodbye. First of all, we want to reach out to a partner station, KZAX Bellingham, Washington. They have national shows like this one, but they also are famous in the Whatcom and Skagit counties. They're famous for their development and presentation of local culture, of DJs and musicians and poets and crazies, and we just feel really good being on your radio signal Tuesdays at 2:30 p.m. 94.9. Thank you, KZAX. And now, we've already credited Savitri D and the I'm Not the Only One, this ode to community making, where the political power comes from. Hugh Masekela, Miriam Makeba, certainly avatars of that whole idea. We want to find a way to make those kinds of songs that powerful for the earth, for the children being bombed, for the safety and security of life of all kinds, ecosystems, and you and me. All races, all genders, we just have to protect each other. Some of us are vulnerable. Let's find a way to be fair. Let's find a way to be safe and in love. All right? Well, now, we have a show, speaking of love, coming up. Gotta plug it. June 1st, Sunday, 6 p.m., the Quaker Meeting House. That's at the 15th Street Quaker Meeting House, east of Union Square, 15th Street, at Rutherford. It's actually 15 Rutherford, 15, that's the address if you're coming on your computer and you want the exact address, 15 Rutherford. Well, now the Quakers have taken us in after those years at Lower East Side Avenue C, and after all our immigration activism, we feel safe with the Quakers, with the American Friends Service Committee, and their meeting house is the most beautiful theater in downtown Manhattan. So we're honored to hold forth Savitri D, Reverend Billy, the Stop Shopping Choir, Josh Kawan Nelson at the piano, with Philip Golub as well. We are coming back out of several months off in June on four Sundays, the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. We will be holding forth. 6 p.m. Now I'm starting to repeat myself, but that's what you do, right? That's how you get the information across. We're really looking forward in this dire time of being with you, singing our passionate songs. Can I get to preach again? Somebody give me an earth, hallelujah. Have a safe and wild week.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. From oil furnaces in the basement to gas stoves in the kitchen, some household appliances burn fossil fuels. So they release planet-warming carbon pollution and contribute to climate change. But now, these appliances can all be replaced with electric models. You can use an electric heat pump to warm your home, an electric water heater for your shower, and a traditional electric stove or electric induction range to cook your food. Some of these electric appliances, like heat pumps, are much more efficient than those that burn fossil fuels. And as the energy grid gets more power from renewable sources like solar and wind, using electric appliances will cause less and less carbon pollution. Some electric appliances are also healthier. For example, air pollution from the open flames of gas stoves has been linked to childhood asthma. But electric and induction stoves do not produce any indoor air pollution. Currently, residential and commercial buildings are responsible for about 30% of global warming pollution in the U.S. But as more people switch to electric appliances and more energy comes from renewable sources, our homes will be healthier for people and the planet. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.